Hello and welcome to On the Line. I'm Carl Richter. It's been more than 2.5 years since we last spoke with Jenny Walker on the show. She, at that time, was executive director of the Literacy Council of Bowie and Miller Counties here in Texarkana. Since then, she has become Dr. Jenny Walker, and she's taken on a new position as executive director of Literacy Texas, the statewide adult education support organization. You'll hear a lot more about that in our interview. We talked about that new role, the Literacy Texas State Conference coming up next week as I record this, and the adult education landscape across the whole state of Texas. This conversation was a real eye-opener to me in lots of ways, and I think you'll find it interesting. Here's my conversation with Dr. Jenny McCormick Walker. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you for having me.
It's a busy time for you. I know you're getting ready for the Literacy Texas State Conference.
Yes.
In San Marcos. Is that right?
That is right.
And it's next week as we're recording this.
Yes.
What is that going to be all about?
So Literacy Texas serves all of the community-based organizations across the state. And we say community-based organizations because some are nonprofits, but some are in public libraries, some are in churches, some are affiliated with government agencies in the cities. And so what we do is we provide backbone support for the literacy instruction, all of the professional development that they need for all of those organizations across the state. So our annual conference brings all of those folks together. And we just give them the best training that they need so they can take that back to the organizations and serve the people the best.
The way I've come to describe what, say, Literacy Council here in town does and the other organizations you're talking about is filling in educational gaps. Is that accurate? Does that make sense?
Yes. So organizations like the Literacy Council, they work primarily with adults who need just certain skills in order to function well in today's society. So sometimes those skills are academic. So like maybe they need help getting prepared for a GED test, or they need certain, credentials to be able to find employment. But also we look at other skills that they may need and try to fill those gaps. So language learning is a big issue with our non-native English speakers. We try to get them into a place where they can best communicate with, you know, people who own businesses or, you know, teachers at the local schools. We also work with workforce skills and helping in Texarkana specifically, the Literacy Council is partner with the Chamber of Commerce and other organizations in order to make us a work-ready community. And so the new executive director there, her name is Brooke Ferguson. She's doing a phenomenal job at picking up those programs and really building and moving things forward. She's really great.
And so tell me what more about what you've done, what you do now since you've moved up to heading up Literacy Texas, the state level organization.
Yes. So, the work that I was able to do with my team here in Texarkana really served as a model for what they wanted to see kind of across the state. So I was very excited to be able to move into this position. It's definitely a level up in my career. But my goal is to really take some of the things that we did here and expand them across Texas and show those organizations how to really engage creative community collaboration, good problem-solving strategies, grant writing, all of the things that we were able to accomplish while I was in that position here. My goal is to help other organizations find that same success. And one of the great things about this job for me and about what this does for Texarkana is that I have moved our state headquarters from Dallas to Texarkana. And that's a pretty significant move for us, you know, to be able to do that. I was very grateful for our board of directors for allowing me to do that. And Literacy Texas is funded by a $1.5 million grant from the Texas Workforce Commission. And one thing that is really exciting about that for me is that I shop locally. So all of the spending that I'm doing, I'm trying to use our Texarkana folks and put that money into our local economy, specifically thinking about the conference that we're doing. I've had all of my printing done with Leadwell, and I've done some other orders through Leadwell, and Rogers Trophy did our awards for us, and I'm working with For All Brain Kind to do some marketing stuff. So I'm really trying to pull some new money into Texarkana and really support those businesses in our area who, you know, are the best of the best. I'd put them against anywhere in Texas, and I'm glad to be able to support the people who support our community.
And your offices are at A&M, Texarkana,
right? Yes, we are so proud to have Texas A&M Texarkana as a partner in our success. Literacy Texas has a long history of a long partnership with the Texas A&M system as a whole. In College Station, there is the Texas Center for Adult Learning and Literacy, TCAL, and they provide a lot of our official CPE continuing education credits for our workshops and our training that we do. And so the system, the A&M system, has been a strong supporter. And so when I knew I was moving the headquarters here, my first choice was a hope that A&M Texarkana would continue that tradition of partnerships and that we could office out of the university, mainly because I wanted to be able to have access to resources like their library for research. But also I wanted to be able to give opportunity to A&M students for internships and to really be able to have easy access to some of the statewide work that we are doing. I really wanted to pull them into the mix.
So as you look statewide, what are the needs out there? Where are, I guess, public schools, I don't want to say falling short, but maybe what are the deficits that you see that nonprofits that can help with?
So Texas is so big. And one of the things that I have really enjoyed getting a better understanding of is just the rich diversity that we have across the state. I've gone to, I've attended lots of different trainings, been in a lot of different learning centers across the state since I started this job in January, just to really get an idea about what, you know, get my finger on the pulse of what is happening. And one thing that I have found is that the needs across Texas are so vastly different from region to region. There was a lot of research that was done a few years ago out in the Permian Basin about adult literacy and how it impacts their economic development, which is a really fascinating and interesting study. But the results of that study can't be applied to other regions because what is happening in Permian Basin is very different than what happens in East Texas, which is very different than what's happening in South Texas, which is very different than Houston. You know, it's just looking at the state as a whole, it is just so complex because we are just so large and every region has its own challenges and opportunities. But I will say that one of the biggest hurdles that we have in the literacy business is the language learning gap. Our the counties along the border are really struggling. Some of those counties have as much as 75% of the adult population on or below a first grade level. And
in English, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Well, and a lot of them are struggle in English and in Spanish.
Right.
And so, you know, when you think about that, I mean, 75% of adults in those counties are, you know, not in a position where they can function well in today's society. Mm-hmm. And then so many of them are raising children.
Yeah.
And that to me, you know, I'm a mother, I'm a teacher. To me, that is the thing that gets me out of bed in the morning, is to think about the way that adult literacy really impacts that next generation. And it's really hard if you are someone on a first grade reading level and you've got a second grade kid coming home asking for help for homework.
Yeah.
And to me, I think if we are going to bring positive change in Texas, we have to intercede here with this population of adults right now. And so that is really the core of what, you know, my hope is for this organization.
So wave your magic wand and tell me the solution. What is it? I guess you need lots of volunteer help for one thing.
Yeah, we need, you know, it's just money, you know, we just need money. The challenge here, I think, for me and for our organization is that we have such a need. If we're looking at that same example of first grade or below, so across the state, 28% of Texans, 28% of adult Texans are on a first grade or below reading level. That's 5.5 million people in our state.
That blows my mind.
Yes. And to bridge those gaps, we have a bunch of nonprofits out here and public libraries who are doing everything that they can to meet those needs, but they're very poorly funded. Mm. You know, they're out here doing car washes so that they can buy books to help teach people, you know, and I think sometimes we are very good at supporting public schools. We are very good at supporting higher education. And those are very important things. I'm a teacher. I 100% believe that's a good place to put our money. But we are missing the mark here by putting our nonprofits kind of in a corner where they don't have the resources to do the job that they need to do. Mm-hmm. And they're working with volunteers who are often there because they are good people and they know that this is a good thing, but they don't have the proper training, which is where we're hoping to fill the gaps. But, mm-hmm. you know, they come in with really good hearts, but they don't, you know, they don't always know about curriculum. They don't always understand the importance of, you know, aligning assessments and all of those things. And so we have a lot of organizations that are run by a lot of volunteers who really just don't have the expertise that they absolutely need to have in order to move that mark. And adult learning has been, it's just been something that's not been on the forefront of everybody's mind.
Right.
And it's not because people don't care. It's not because they don't, you know, they want people to not be successful. It's just because they don't know that it's a problem.
Yeah.
And so one of my big goals is to really raise awareness and help people understand why this is important and how they can better support those organizations so that they're not out here running, you know, with a skeleton crew and a shoestring budget trying to solve a huge problem that impacts all of us.
Right.
Yeah.
So where does that funding come from?
Well, so currently a lot of our organizations are funded from fundraisers in their communities. They'll write grants. The challenge with grants is that they're often restricted to certain projects, so they don't cover things like salaries generally. So then what we have, then that creates a problem of not being able to hire professional people who have that experience, because if you have the experience that you need for those jobs, you often have a degree and you have years of experience, and it's hard for you to do a part-time job with no benefits at a nonprofit. Yeah. And And then we have a lot of turnover because of that. And so we have a lot of directors who come into these positions and they're here and they realize once they get into the thick of it how hard it is and how almost impossible it is to keep these things going. And they find something better that makes more sense for their professional career. Only sometimes do you get people crazy enough to say, I'm in it to win it and I'm going to, you know, dig in my heels.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we, if we had better funding for adult learning programs, I think we could fill some of those needs in our in those organizations and allow us to have funding to support a real staff that can help start to turn that ship around and fill some of those needs.
So are you talking about government funding from the state?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it makes a lot of sense for us to partner with corporations because we have this huge population of men and women in Texas who are very capable of being strong members of an educated workforce. They just don't have the skills to do it. So I would like to see more corporations get involved in this this movement. Certainly the state and federal funding is helpful. The challenge with state and federal funding for a lot of our nonprofit organizations is that it comes with a lot of reporting. And if you are someone who wears all the hats in an organization, it's hard to keep up with the reporting of the state and federal funding. So, you know, as a first, you know, jumping off point to get things boosted, I'd really love to see some of our companies across Texas really invest in those programs because it benefits them. You know, when we have when we have an educated workforce, we all win. We can bring more new business into Texas. We can fill open positions. We can raise productivity. So everybody wins here. And then those men and women have employment that provides a living wage, which is a challenge for a lot of the folks that we have. So, you know, if we could get companies and corporations to invest in this adult learning, then build up those organizations, then I think they could go after some of that state funding a little easier.
So what are your sort of midterm, long-term plans? What are you looking at moving forward?
So, you know, I am someone who just kind of I'm always living 5 years ahead of myself. And so I started this job in January and you know, when you first start a new job, you want to kind of sit back and just observe and kind of see what's working, what's not, what needs to be adjusted, and then what needs to be added. And so our new budget year starts over in September. And so I've been just kind of laying low, but, you know, like, you know, sitting back and just thinking about what, you know, just dreaming about what this next chapter for Literacy Texas looks like. And there are some pretty big initiatives that I really want to bring in. The biggest one for me is just really taking baby steps and helping define literacy for people and help them understand what it is that we do. So I've been meeting with people all over the state, people in Austin, essentially just introducing Literacy Texas to them. And so many of those conversations, I'm talking with high level people who are movers and shakers. They're doing great things. And when I talk to them, very often they say, oh my gosh, I didn't realize what you all did. I thought you read books to kids.
Right.
You know, and it's just there's a very common misconception about what literacy is. And so many people think it's, you know, about reading, and it is about reading, but it's so much more. Things like computer literacy, financial literacy, language learning, those are all critically important skills that people need in order to do well in society. One great conversation I've had recently has been with some friends over at the Texas Broadband Office. And, you know, we have done a really awesome job in Texas at getting broadband connected into some of our rural areas who didn't have access before. And that's wonderful. However, where our organizations come in is that we help people learn how to use that internet. So many people, before they had access, they didn't have anything. But now that they have access, they don't often have even the basic vocabulary required to use internet effectively.
That's such a great point. Yes. All the emphasis is on access, but it's like having a highway and not being knowing how to drive.
Yeah. I had some folks that I was working with on just some government benefits, food benefits, so they could, you know, feed their kids. And we sat down together, and I mean, sometimes the folks who create these they create these plans for these programs, they have really good intentions. They have really good hearts. It is not because they're not, you know, they don't have, it's not because they're trying to create barriers for folks at all. And they're, you know, they're saving trees by not having a bunch of paper copies. It's all great.
Yeah.
However, the reality is that when you have folks who are in poverty, folks who have not been part of the workforce, they don't understand even basic vocabulary that the average person now understands. Mm. Things like upload a copy of your photo ID. I sat down with some folks and we were working on a food benefit application, and they had no idea what that word upload meant. Like, right. It was a foreign concept to them. And, you know, I think that is going to be it already is a huge issue, but I think, you know, when people can't access online job application, or they can access it, they don't know what to do with it. When people, you know, don't understand how email works or how to attach documents to an email, just some of those basic things. And it's not just folks in poverty, really. It's anybody who's just not in technology all the time. I mean, we have some folks who are, you know, they're wonderful, productive members of society, but they work in manufacturing and they're not using a computer every day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they just don't have those skills because it's not something that they use all the time. And so, you know, we have some incredible organizations who are helping to fill those gaps. I know in Texarkana, the Literacy Council, one of the new initiatives that the new director here did recently that I thought was brilliant was she had some smartphone classes, and she just, you know, helped people understand how to use your phone. And it, I mean, tons of people came out for that. It was very successful. And I just think, being able to fill those gaps so that, you know, folks can communicate better and have access to things is just so critically important today.
Yeah. There's so much that we take for granted that we figure everybody must know this.
Yes. Well, and you know what's interesting also is that a lot of times we assume that young folks know how to do these things.
Right.
And I remember having a conversation recently with my daughter who's about to go to college at Texas A&M Texarkana. And they are so used to, they use apps for everything, which is great. Apps are very intuitive. But she doesn't use a lot of like email. And so like going through some of those things that I just assume because she's young and, you know, she knows all the things that she knows all those skills and she doesn't. And so, you know, that's a pretty interesting revelation for me. And this is the work I do all the time. And so even my own assumptions, I have to check often.
Yeah. Tell me about your staff. Who do you work with?
So I have a wonderful team of, we're a very tiny team, but we're a very mighty team. So we are all, the other employees that we have are remote, and one is actually in Australia.
Oh my goodness.
And, that's really fun. She is someone who used to live in Houston, very well connected in the literacy, world here in Texas. And, she is originally from Australia. And so she decided, after the pandemic that she was going to move back home and be closer to her family, which makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So she serves Literacy Texas all the way across the world.
Must cause some real timing problems.
It's a challenge. She, you know, her days are flipped. So I often go into work and have, you know, 20 emails from her overnight. Yeah. It looks like she's working at all hours, but it's her regular day. And then all of our team meetings are in the afternoons at 3 or 4 or 5 or later in the afternoon, which is fine because we can do that. We're very flexible. And then another member of our team is in the DFW area, and she's wonderful, and we collaborate often. And then I have interns at Texas A&M. So my, like, hands-on, like, boots-on-the-ground folks with me are A&M folks, and so I'm very pleased with that. We also have a really strong board of directors who are all over the state of Texas. We're trying to get representatives from a lot of different regions so that we can make sure that we are addressing the needs of those regions. They kind of represent their people. Mm-hmm. And so everything is done virtually. I mean, this is such a great time where we can use technology to our advantage to have such great diversity in our representation across Texas. So really excited about all of that.
Are there volunteer opportunities for your organization specifically?
Yeah. So right now I'm getting ready for the conference, of course. So Saturday morning I have a group of volunteers from our local Altrusa organization. They're going to come out and they're going to help me stuff our conference bags, our swag bags. So they'll be joining me Saturday morning at Texas A&M and we'll be doing that. So when I have events and I have things going, I definitely want to pull together volunteers. But I also have some other things in mind for the future where I do need some volunteers to help with rounding up, you know, door prizes and donations. And we really want our folks across the state to feel very special. So at every event that we have, I'm really hoping to have some like prizes that I can give away to just celebrate the work that they do. I'm also having a reception, kind of a ribbon cutting, if you will, for our new office in Texas at Texas A&M. And so in September, I'm hoping to have a reception. And so I'll be looking for some volunteers soon to help me with that reception. So folks who like, you know, planning parties and making things fun, I would love to pull them on and help with that certain volunteer activity.
All right. Well, we'll be sure and cover that when it comes up. We're about out of time. Is there anything else you want people to know?
Just that I think it's important for people to really know what a treasure we have in Texarkana with the emphasis on education here. I mean, I think that the fact that we have incredible school districts, we have incredible higher education opportunities here through TC, A&M, and UAHT, and then to have Literacy Texas here, I think that says a lot about this community and the fact that we really care about people having the opportunities they need to put their very best foot forward. And so I'm very proud for Literacy Texas to be part of the ecosystem here for education. And I'm very grateful that this is my hometown and I love my people.
Sounds like a great place to end. I'll be sure and put in the show notes how people can get in touch with you.
Okay, awesome.
Thanks so much for taking some time.
Yes,
thank you. This is all really exciting.
Yes, thank you so much.
On the Line is a Texarkana Gazette podcast recorded in Star Bear Studio, right here in downtown Texarkana, USA. Follow On the Line on our website, TexarkanaGazette.com/podcast. To support the show, post a positive review wherever you get your podcasts. And please, spread the word by sharing a link or telling a friend. I write, produce, and edit the show, and I'd love to hear from you. Email me at krichter@texarkanagazette.com and let me know what you think. I'll see you next time
on the line.